Welcome to the Hire Truckers Podcast, where we interview experts in driver recruiting. We provide industry insights, marketing trends, and motivation to help you level up your recruiting game. Hello, I'm Aaron Craddock, the host of the Hire Truckers Podcast. And today we have Randy Scheel on. Randy is with Hightower Advertising, and he has been in the driver recruiting space for 33 years. He's been in roles from dispatch to terminal manager to director of recruiting for over 7 years before he transitioned into the marketing side of things with Hightower Advertising Agency. Today, Randy is in the role of director of customer support, sales, and vendor relationships at Hightower. And Randy's also a good friend of mine that I've known for several years. And one of the reasons I was excited about having Randy on the show today is that he really embodies just the giving spirit, which is one of our core values, and kind of approaches every client relationship that they have at Hightower just on building that relationship and adding max value to the client, not necessarily what Hightower gets in the short term, but really, really, really focuses on that. And I think we've kind of seen that just with Hightower's success this year in a down market. So thank you, Randy, for coming on the show today.
Glad to be here, Aaron. I'm excited to be part of this. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll dive directly into questions. So one of the biggest things we're hearing right now is just from directors of recruiting is, what is the industry doing? Where is it going? And sometimes we hear, you know, kind of an element of fear just based on what happened with spot rates this last year. And with that context, what are you hearing from the fleets you're talking to right now in the market?
You know, so it's kind of been a mixed bag for us. We've got some of our customers that have actually done okay. They're in some of the types of freight that's seen a little bit of need and growth. So we've got a couple of our fleets actually adding some trucks in the next month or two, which is, given how this year has gone, is you know, I tell them every time, I'm like, keep that news coming. We love to hear the exciting stuff. But there is also a lot of uncertainty. Carriers in general just not really knowing for sure when the improvements really happened, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's you know, the Chicken Little sky is falling by any means. And where we saw people scaling back, cutting budgets throughout, actually from the start of the year, it felt like by the end of summer things had kind of just stabilized and reached kind of the point where people said, okay, we've cut the budgets as far as we can cut them. And so now they're, you know, the good carriers, I think, are really looking at, what's my turnover going to be like through the holiday months? Because there's always that uncertainty when Thanksgiving hits, when Christmas hits, how many of those drivers are checking out and find other opportunities. And so, you know, above and beyond all things is, you still got to be thinking of, okay, I got to maintain my fleet. I've got to make sure I got good drivers in the pool ready to go, because this thing can change at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Is it something our fleet saying when they anticipate things ramping back up in terms of marketing spend on recruiting, like going into next year? Like, do they expect it in Q1, Q3, Q2? I mean, what are you hearing with that?
And again, that's probably, you ask 10 different carriers, you're going to get probably 6 or 7 different answers is been my experience. And I think more than anything, there's some that say, hey, by the end of the first quarter, we expect to see things going back. And I don't think anybody's really stepping to say, hey, this, when this turns around, it's going to go rampant again and buckle up. I think the general trend is that people feel it's going to be a slow, positive growth, more so than just all at once the key gets turned on and then, you know, hang on for dear life because freight's going fast and furious. I think it being an election year gives it a little bit of a positive outlook because people want to get voted back into office, or they want to get voted into office. And as a result, going in with a slumping economy, certainly not a way to do that.
So you've been through, being in the industry for over 33 years, you've been through a few of these cycles. So what have you seen recruiting departments do during these cycles to kind of set them up for that next growth opportunity, that next season to pick up more market share?
Yeah, and you know, I should note, I started when I was 3 years old. Is that fair?
That's right.
Otherwise, it ages me. But no, more than anything, yeah, and the business, the economy are always very cyclical. And unfortunately, I have been through a number of these cycles. And the one thing that's always proven to be true is that it always comes back around. So mainly one of the best things you can be doing with your staff now is really taking time to pay attention to the small details. So doing the training, making sure that people have all the tools necessary. So if you're using an applicant tracking system, 10 Street, Driver Reach are two of the examples common in our industry. Make sure that your staff knows all the full functions of how to utilize those tools, because sometimes we take it for granted. In the heat of the battle, you've got everybody coming on board and you don't really realize you may not have trained them through all of those systems properly. But even paying attention to the small details, I'm a big believer, you know, I'm probably a little old fashioned in that I still believe the phone is our most valuable tool in recruiting. But make sure that people know how to use the phone, how to answer the call, how to, you know, all the Zig Ziglar types of smile when you answer the phone, because people hear that through your attitude and how you respond to them. But really taking, and then I think also look at the messaging that you have for your company right now. So one of the things that's really helped us this year is that we've talked with a lot of our customers and we're doing a lot of website projects right now. Because this is a time when there's a little bit more extra time to pay attention to those things. And, you know, check back and look at the last time your website was built. And in some cases, people will be shocked. And it was 6 years ago or 10 years ago or even possibly longer. So it's a good time to take a look at that. And also just, you know, social media has become a big part of our world today. But look at your messaging. We're doing a lot of work with videographers right now. So we're building a lot of library content. So both with video and photography, we've done a couple here in just the last few weeks where, you know, we're setting our customers up for the next, not only 6 months, but probably the rest of the year that we'll be able to pull from those materials. But again, when this gets really busy, those are the small things you don't have time to deal with. And now is a great time to really take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's something I've seen, Randy, as well, is just, and that's both on the marketing side, the different marketing companies that are doing recruitment advertising and different vendors. And then also on the fleet side is you kind of have this two different camps. You have the camp that's just cutting, like, let's cut as much as we can and not really invest. And then I'm seeing, you know, other fleets and other companies really invest in websites, in content, in doing things differently. And I'm seeing that, I think, a lot in companies that are just really, really financially sound. And I know that's one thing Hightower is focused on, is just running a financially sound business. And we see that on the fleet side as well. The fleets that are well capitalized and can continue to invest in this cycle, they're viewing this as a time to invest more in content, invest in that new website, and do that. And so that's not a service we provide to our clients, but I'm just seeing that, I'm seeing them do that across the board. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, too, and I learned early on in my career, and it was a case where we had a lease purchase program and we had a list of, I don't remember, 50 trucks or whatever. And once we had got all those out into the fleet and filled them all, the president of the company just demanded that we cut the budget because we don't have any more trucks. So what are you spending any money on? Well, when the trucks 2 months later came back and we had the need, it cost us more to get that program going again than had we just maintained a minimal budget just to keep the word out there. So it's kind of the same holds true in the market we're in today. You know, we certainly don't want people to extend themselves beyond the budget that's available. But you can't forget that advertising, and especially advertising for the best drivers. So in my opinion, the drivers that have years of experience don't make a change after the first phone call. And that change may happen 3 to 6 months down the road. So marketing is a lot about looking on down the road in what you're prepared for. So the budget you cut today affects your next month and the month after's results. And so that's one of the things we try to help work with our customers on, is making sure that, hey, we understand you got to cut, but let's try to maintain at least this going for here and this going for here, so that you're not caught off guard if this does change quickly.
Yeah. What are you seeing in lead cost with that, like with marketing right now, like the last couple months?
The cost per lead is just plummeted, which is, it's great. I mean, right now we're in a an advertiser's market or the carrier's market. So, you know, for example, where we saw a direct lead for social media be $20 to $25 when things were tough, those are now under, they're in single digit cost per lead amounts right now for a lot of our customers. So, you know, there's drivers out there that are looking, it's just that there's not as much need. So as a result, that's really reduced those costs down considerably.
Yeah. And that even further supports like just continuing to at least keep a budget in place and maybe even stretch if you can, because then you can build that database like in your applicant tracking system. So then you can hit them. They already know about you and you can hit them when things come back.
No, and that's a great point. I think people underestimate, you know, there's a lot of great tools. There's drip marketing. There's a lot of ways that you can maintain contact with those drivers. But yeah, it's not kind of like the market. You know, when you think of stocks, everybody talks about when the market's high, you should sell everything and you know, buy when it's low. Well, we can never time that. But right now you're able to get leads at extremely low cost. And I, in my opinion, and I've worked with a lot of great recruiters and I've worked with customers that have the best recruiters that are out there. They're never, even if there's limited need, they're never not going after the best driver candidates that are in their database. So it's even more above than what the drip marketing and all those extra tools do. The best recruiters are the people that are every few weeks just reaching out with a phone call saying, hey, how's everything going? How's your dog Sparky? And just kind of keeping your name and that conversation going. And I think that's where this timing gives you that opportunity to identify those best driver candidates. And the best thing you can ever say as a carrier is like, hey, I don't have any trucks available, but we've got a waiting list, which sends a great message to those candidates in advance when you really do.
Yeah, because it may be too late. Just you've been through a few of these cycles when it heats back up to get that good driver.
Yeah, definitely will. And because they're ultimately, people have things going on in their lives that we have no impact over. And whether that could be something, you know, it is a tough market right now. And there are some carriers that are really struggling. There are some carriers, there's been some recent purchases in our industry. So we never know when that good driver is going to finally say, I can't take this anymore. I've got to make a change now. And you've got to be prepared. So yeah. And I think that's where the good recruiter knows that, hey, I've got this candidate that's A-level candidate. And when they're ready, I'm going to be ready to bring them on board and get them a spot in a truck for us.
So with thinking of motivation, that's one of the things we talk about on this show, is just how do you maintain motivation with your team? How would you recommend a director of recruiting with their sales or recruiting team invest in their team to provide that motivation?
Well, for one, this has got to be, and it goes regardless if this is recruiting, any position in trucking, dispatch, customer service, things can really grind. And so more than anything, we sometimes forget that this has got to be a position that we enjoy doing, and we've got to make it fun. And I think sometimes people get concerned that they don't have the budget or that they're not able to do the right things. And we're not talking you buy people all expenses paid trips or you don't have to do the big dinners. Sometimes it's just simple, small things that you do. Sometimes even to taking, you know, one of the things I did with my recruiters in my former life was that we had a, it was a tough environment. We were really struggling. And I went out and I bought 25 pairs of the wackiest socks you could ever imagine. I mean, the kind, some of them had the, you know, the individual toes, like a glove for your feet. And so we had a sock it to them Tuesday. And so I had everybody open up their socks and put on their socks all at the same time. And any time following, if we kind of, I could sense that there was just a grind. I'd say, hey, tomorrow is sock it to them Wednesday, wear your socks. And people would wear those socks and they'd take pictures and they'd send them to me. But because you felt so silly about it and people would ask, it was just a small little thing that would lighten you up. And I'm not promoting that everybody goes out and buys socks, but it's just, again, an example of something that you can do that's very simple, that just shows the staff that, hey, I'm in here with you. What, you know, what do we need to do? But I think supporting them, again, going back to the training, just spending time, I'm a big believer on listening to the phone calls. And so not only is it important to share, hey, here's areas you can improve, but I think also people need to be reminded that you're doing this really well. And sometimes we're very poor at handing out the positives because trucking comes at us so fast. And again, regardless of the position, sometimes it's just stopping by somebody's desk to say, hey, you know what? I just overheard you talking with that driver, and I really respect how you handled that call. And you really let that individual walk away feeling good about themselves. So sometimes just those little small pieces, and we forget it ourselves, especially recruiting directors, operation directors. You may not get the positive praise yourself, but sometimes you got to turn that back to say, hey, I got to make sure that my staff knows that I appreciate the work that they're doing.
Yeah, one of the things, so the two things that kind of stick out just from recently what you said are, ask about their dog Sparky. I thought that was a great one. And then, you know, the sock idea, like, and it just is an example of what you can provide to your team. Because, and one thing I've heard is express appreciation, then double it, then you're just getting started. And so that's, you're never doing enough of it, even when you think you are. And it's really the little things. It doesn't have to be a massive, you know, financial incentive or things like that in a tight market, but it's just reminding people that you care about them. And that's, and I think you covered that on the driver's side with the Sparky, you know, asking about their dog or their family, you know, what they're going through, because, you know, they're real people with real lives and want to talk about it. And then, yeah, with any of your staff, whether you're the terminal manager, dispatcher, recruiting leader, marketing leader, those are all really good points.
Today's sponsor. Do you hire truck drivers in hard-to-fill areas, or do you need help creating efficiency in your recruiting department? You're not alone. With 50-plus years experience, Trucking Click specializes in data-driven strategies, industry-leading customer experience, and custom solutions that'll get you to your goal. Trucking Clicks is your go-to place for high-quality direct leads at scale. Visit truckingclicks.com or call 512-982-0816 today.
So next question that I ask everybody on the show is just, what's one book you've read in the last year? And some of this is a little selfish just because I'm always trying to read new books and grow. So what's one book you've read in the last year that's had an impact on you?
So I'll bypass Field and Stream because as those who know me, I'm a big outdoors person. But a book, and I'll just state, one of the books I've read that in general has made a huge impact on me, it goes way back to Southwest Airlines and Herb Kelleher, and he wrote the book called Nuts. And it kind of goes right in line with what you just said, Aaron, with appreciating people. And I read that book early on in my trucking career, and I've read it again since. And just a little summary of that book is that Southwest Airlines' original philosophy was, we don't care about the customers as much as I care about my employees. And if I treat my employees well and I take good care of them, everything else falls into place. And so there's a lot of different examples used throughout that book that, you know, it's airlines and a lot of things that aren't totally like trucking. But really, when you dug into the nuts and bolts of what that article was or the book is about, it's just something that's always settled with me that said, you know what, if I take care of my people, and in my world today, it's if I take care of my customers, because sometimes it's not always going to be, you know, it's not always about profit. It's about doing what's in the best interest of them. It's always doing in the best interest of the driver, because we sometimes forget that the people that are making us, delivering all the freight, doing all the great things for us, are the ones that sometimes get forgotten. So anyway, that would be one of the, probably the one book that I keep going back to more and more in my career than anything else.
That's great. Yeah, I haven't read that one. I'm going to have to add that to my list.
It's when he talks about even how they started the company and the little unique things that they did. And, you know, one of the things that stands out to me, too, is when they interviewed people, the more creative that people were, the more that they stuck out. So there was somebody who brought their resume as a paper bag, and, you know, how they kind of built their whole culture on creativity. And even though that book was written well before social media, Facebook, everything else became part of our world, there's a lot of it still applies today.
Yeah. So in doing the pre-call planning for the podcast, one of the things you mentioned is you have a trip coming up. So what are you doing in the next couple of weeks?
Well, next week I'll be actually on vacation, and I own some property in Missouri. So I'll be deer hunting in Missouri. And it's also bow season in Iowa. So I split my time on weekends or evenings before work, where I'm out in a tree stand. So it's just a fun time. I was out Saturday morning, for example, and people that hunt for deer know about the rut, which is when the breeding season occurs. And Saturday, I probably had one of the funnest mornings I've ever had in my life, with more than 10 different bucks chasing does all around me, and hearing bucks fight, watching a buck tear up a tree, almost having a shot at a really big bodied mature 8-pointer that we had a stare down for about 3 minutes with me at full draw, and the sun was at his back, and you could see the vapors. It was in the 30s, and you could see the vapors of mist coming out of his nose each breath. It was just a really cool morning, and even though I didn't fill a tag, it was worth the whole season for me.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things every time I get to talk to you about hunting, cause I don't do a lot of hunting, is just hearing your admiration for nature and getting out there, and then just appreciation of the animals and God's creation. And it's just so cool. And then also it's just a way to, when things are hard in transportation, which it gets that way, there's hard times in the growth seasons and hard times in the down seasons. You just continue to communicate how much of just kind of a healthy outlet it is just to get outdoors and get in nature and admire the nature and the animals and God's creation. It's just really cool.
Well, and I think too, you talk about motivating people, and my plug to everyone is, we may not all do our passions for our work. There may be things that we do that are a passion outside of it, but my big push to everybody is volunteer in your communities. You know, I'm a Lions Club member here, and there's Lions Clubs virtually in every state, almost every town, city, and across the country and across the world. But, you know, the Shriners, the Kiwanis groups, there's all kinds of opportunities, your churches, where I think it's important when when times get tough, anytime you can give back a little bit, it gives you those positive outlooks that you need. And sometimes that's where the grind can really get people down. And you know, my problem is, and I live outside a small town, so I can't say no, and I'm pretty active with a lot of different groups. But it's amazing how many times I've had a down day with work, but then you go to a meeting or you go to an event. You know, we did trunk or treat for our Lions Club on Halloween night, and you get to walk around and take pictures of all these cute little kids dressed up in some unique costumes. And they're just special things that I think sometimes we have to remember there is life outside of our careers. And hopefully someday when we all retire, we still have other things to do besides wonder what we're going to do to fill the hours of the day. So if you can volunteer, I strongly encourage you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I find that the seasons I'm the most stressed are when I'm focused on me, like all me, you know, what's happening with the growth of my company or what's happening with this area of my life, but the moment I turn it around and focus on, you know, giving to some organization or just serving somebody in a conversation, which Randy, that's what I see you do really well consistently just in the industry at work, is just serving and investing and speaking into people and encouraging them, then your whole day turns around. Like you might, you know, the numbers may still be down, recruiting may be more challenging still, you have the same fires, but it just changes that mentality. And so that's something I really appreciate about you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, this is going to wrap up this today's episode with Randy Scheel on the Hire Truckers podcast. Again, I'm Aaron Craddock, the host, and I hope you all have a great week.
All right. Thank you very much, Aaron, for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today. Our goal with the Hire Truckers podcast is to provide industry insights, marketing trends, and motivation to level up your recruiting game. If we added value, take a few seconds to share this with your network. Have a great week.